Major Martin Highfield, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Major Highfield?
Yes, I was born near Preston, Lancs, in January 1920.
And could you tell us a little bit about your parents and about your early childhood?
I can't remember anything about Lancashire because my father moved south to London to join his brother in an electrical engineering partnership.
That's what your father did for a living?
Yes, he was an consulting electrical engineer.
And what about your childhood? Was it a comfortable upbringing? How many in the family? What sort of?
I was the eldest, and my brother's 2 years younger, and then I have twin sisters, 5 years younger. So I was I had to be in charge at times.
And whereabouts in London did you live?
We lived at Streatham. I think initially my father was 2 years in London, and then. When he decided to move out to Streatham because this was near the home of my mother's grandparents who were called Sargent. James Sargent was her father, who was a musician. And we grew up in Preston. We grew up in Streatham and went to little schools there and so on and so forth.
Tell us a bit more about your education. What do you remember?
Well, I remember going to a very strange sort of preparatory school in Streatham, which seemed to be run by First World War people who were quite damaged. And it was very jolly and not much education. But eventually I was sent to the preparatory school of Dulwich College and started there, I suppose, about 8 or 9. And we went to we had 3 stops on the train, walked to the station, and a quarter an hour's walk either end. It took about an hour to get to school that way, but it was all perfectly safe in those days. No problems at all.
Did you go from there to Dulwich? Was that your senior school, Dulwich College?
It was, yes.
Tell us a bit about the preparatory school and Dulwich College. What was it like in those days, the sort of school, how it was run?
I think there were more lady teachers than gentlemen. I can remember a very wild-looking short chap who was a Frenchman, who taught French, but with tremendous gestures and always caused great amusement to us boys when he was there. But the lady teachers are very good. I actually came quite near the top of the class under one. I think she was called Miss Prentice. But I got through the entrance exam and I very much enjoyed those days. It was a 20-minute walk to the station at Sydenham and 3 stations back. And it was very well-to-do territory that I walked down. And I was quite keen on collecting butterflies and moths. And in the autumn term, if you kept your eyes open, you might pick up a hawk moth caterpillar and take it home. And then I had a little breeding cage I could put it in. And so I enjoyed all that.
How did you do at school? How did you do at school, at the college?
I got less up. I don't think I was ever near the top of the class again, but I was a medium plodder.
Were you any particular subjects you liked or disliked at the time?
I went to Dulwich in Dulwich College in 1934. And I was put into in the summer term, which was a very difficult term to go because other pupils had mostly been there for the previous 2 terms. And this was a chap who was his name is well known as being very strict, Mr. Treadgold. and he took a third form, 3B, I think it was. And we, two of us new chaps, were sat in the front, and we were kept in every Friday afternoon for long Latin sentences, because we hadn't got the basics that the others had got in the previous two terms. And it, my mother had been a teacher. She did a teaching course at Hereford in the war. And she got quite worried, I believe, that I was being bullied a bit. So my brother told me afterwards. But anyway, I survived. And then I went on the modern side. Dulwich had three, classical, modern, and science.
So what was the modern side? What did that mean you were doing? Which subjects?
Well, it meant we were going to do languages. And the standard things that you took for school certificate. There were three compulsory subjects, as I remember. English, maths, and I'm not sure about the other one. And then you had to take... If you got credits in five of these subjects, then you matriculated. And I took these in 1936 at Dulwich. Very good form master that year. And I got four credits. I then said it would be best if you retook the thing again to try and improve it. So in the Christmas term following... I did this, but I only got three credits. So I got seven credits altogether. I didn't matriculate.
How were you in maths? I asked because you go into the artillery and it's got an obvious linking mathematics and artillery. Did you like mathematics, or were you good at it?
I wasn't especially good at it. I didn't understand the slide rule later on. But I found in the end that with the artillery, everything worked on the hypotenuse and knowing the angles.
And you could do that. You'd learn that at school.
That's right, yes.
Now, what about the sporting side of life? Were you interested in sport?
Yes, I was. I played rugby. I wasn't much good at cricket. I was too impatient. But I enjoyed it. But rugby, I really did enjoy, and running. We did do quite a lot of running in weekday training. You'd probably do two runs a week. And at Dulwich, you ran round the outside perimeter of the grounds, which took about 10 minutes, called a run round, strangely enough. And I was very disappointed if I didn't come in first on that. A lot of other people didn't try, but I always tried.
What about the OTC, Officer Training Corps? Was there a cadet corps? I'm not sure which it was in 1990. Were you in that, or was there one to join?
There was one, and you had a choice of either joining the OTC or joining the Scouts, as a Scout group. And I joined the OTC. And
now, why did you choose the OTC? Had your father had any military... experience or?
No, he had been very disappointed. He was 38 when the war, First World War, finished. And I think he and mother would have got married earlier. They were married in November 1918. but it wasn't the done thing. And he was not allowed to volunteer because he had to convert the factory at Preston where he worked. He was the factory manager, and he had to run that factory for munitions. And I believe they produced 5 million shells over the war, something like that.
So what made you choose, you hadn't a military thing. What made you go for the OTC rather than the Boy Scouts?
Well, I think I don't know that I made much choice initially, but when I was in it, it was very much the bigger thing. We were 500 people in the OTC.
Tell me about the training, your OTC training, in as much detail as you can remember. When would you have the training, and what form would it take?
Well, there was an annual camp which followed the end of the summer term, and I went to all those, and they would be at army centres. Tidworth, the first camp I went to was up at York, It was a very big adventure to go up with 500 of you to camp there at Strensel. And I enjoyed that very much. And I had a very good senior boy at that camp who was a sergeant. And I think we won the tent competition if you laid your kit out right and all the rest of it. And I got very imbued with the thing. I liked it.
So what were you doing at camp? What did you do at Strensel? I mean, you had the obviously the kit competition, the tent competition. What else?
We went out on field days, and you had a regular unit running the whole camp.
And what would a field day be?
Marching. I've got some pictures still of us in our uniform. And defence, advance to battle on the other side to a position and so on, and then there'd always be a bit of a night exercise and map reading and so on, and we took Certificate A.
Now what about your training, that's the annual camp, what about the sort of nitty gritty of training back at the school?
Well, we had a parade every week and in the lunch hour about a 35 minute parade, and we had three companies, and there was a senior master who ran it the last time I think it was Major Lex, and you could have a senior boy as an under officer, but I went up to company sergeant major of number one company at the end. I was the senior person in the corps, and we didn't have an under officer that year.
And what about weapons training? How far did weapons training go, if at all?
Weapons training was almost entirely the rifle,
Lee Enfield,
and we had a miniature range and a shooting team who shot against shooting teams of other schools. I wasn't a particularly good shot, but I wasn't a marksman anyway. But a great friend of mine ran the shooting team, and I used to go and watch them, and so on. 22 yard range, as far as I remember.
What other training? Would there be an element of bayonet training, or would that not be done?
No, that wasn't done.
And what about any of the light machine guns? Were you introduced to any things like the Lewis, I believe it would be?
Well, we only had a symbolic wooden Lewis gun when we went on field day. We have a field day each term, or certainly in the summer term.
What would that be like? That's well, at the school, you mean, not at the camp?
Yes, one I remember very clearly was when we went to Epsom, and we went to Epsom Down Station. We marched out, and on this occasion, with the sergeant who I knew well, I was part of about 10 men who were to be the enemy. So we were given a lot of ammunition, blank ammunition, and we had to simulate various checks against the whole corps, which was then moving up eventually to capture the main stadium at Epsom Downs, which was the target. And that was very enjoyable. And then we all went to Epsom Downs Station and had a big tea with watercress sandwiches, very strong watercress sandwiches. And then you marched home, detrained at Tulse Hill, and marched back. And we had a bugle band and a military band. And the military band was composed mostly of the people who trained the boys who were interested in instrument training. And they would always meet us at the station and march us back. And when we came under the bridge, it was a railway bridge near Dulwich College, we all gave a tremendous shout as each platoon went in. And then you marched on to the home ground and were dismissed.
You obviously enjoyed the OTC.
Indeed.
Now, how did you stay on after 16 when you matriculated?
I was a bit at a loose end after this business of not matriculating, and the term had gone, and I think I rather wasted my time the next two terms. But what happened was this: my father had occasionally a Royal Engineer officer attached to him for specialist training. And on one of these occasions, he was invited to come and dine at our house. And he arrived in a taxi and dined in full mess kit. We looked over the banisters and saw them go in to dinner. And then subsequently, I found that if you tried to go into the Royal Engineers, you would be sent to Cambridge and have the opportunity to take a second-class degree in engineering. And this, with the games element, really attracted me. And at that moment, or very shortly afterwards, I was set on trying to get into one of the regular, the RMA Woolwich, which trained the engineer officers, with the theory that that would be quite a nice career and I might come out early and then I could go into my father's firm.
Now, when did you leave Dulwich College? What year would it be?
I left at the end of the Christmas term, 1938.
So what happened then?
Well, I'd had two goes at the entrance examination for RMA Woolwich, which is, and you have to be between 18 and 19. I passed in the summer one, but there was a tremendous inrush of people, and although I passed by 100 marks, you had to have 300 above the pass mark to go in. So I then got down to retaking the exam, which I took, and I changed one of the major subjects, which was a language, German. I'd got about 140 or 45 marks out of 300, and I realized you couldn't raise a language quickly. So I took history. My father was very interested in history, a very great fan of Napoleon, and I read a book called Napoleon and His Marshals by A.G. MacDermill, and I literally knew it by heart. And I passed in, you didn't know, get the results till just after Christmas, they were published in the paper. And I passed in halfway up the list, and I got 280 marks out of 300 for my military history.
So that was December 1938,
you've been? That's right. And I went to the RMA Woolwich in January 39.
Now, tell me what happened when you got there. What was the setup at the Royal? That's the Royal Military Academy Woolwich.
That's right.
Tell me about the setup there.
Well, about 250 students at any one time. You weren't in the forces. You were it's a military college. And the course was organised in three terms, two terms a year. And so it was an 18-month course at that stage. And the junior term, as you can imagine, was like being junior in any military establishment. You were put through it, and it's rather good fun.
Well, let's look at the living accommodation. Were you living in, I presume?
Indeed.
Tell me what the barrack room is not right. What the dormitories or the living space was like?
Well, it was a series of houses. It's completely built as a military academy with a library in the centre and a big parade ground in front. And we were in one house. They were labelled A to Z almost. We were in I house. And you had one senior cadet living in the house and so many others in rooms. We were four cadets in our room, which ran right through the depth of the building. And it's a rather interesting distribution. Up one end was myself from Dulwich and another chap from Tunbridge School. And down the other end was a chap from Harrow and another one from Radley. We were rather poles apart to start with. I think the two at the other end had a bit of a set too at one time, but we all got on very well in the end. The
What was a typical day like? I mean, it's a way of looking at it. I know there's no such thing as a typical day in life, but what would a typical day at the RMA be, nevertheless? What time would you start?
I think it was about 7:15. The civilian batman appeared, produced shaving water, because there were no running water in the rooms, and cleaned your boots and did your overcoat buttons, and that was it. And from that moment, you were kept on the go all the way through until lights out.
So what were you, take me through the day then. So they got your servants, got you ready, so to speak. Then what happened?
Well, the next thing was you had to be dressed and in your uniform of the day and parade outside the house.
And what was the uniform of the day?
We had service dress uniform, and this was made to measure for each of us, and of course became your officer's uniform in due course. And we had a best uniform, and we had a standard one for ordinary drills. And you had to parade outside the house. You were checked by your house senior, and if you hadn't got anything right, he could give you an extra drill. And then you went off to have breakfast.
Now, what was the food like? It was your first real experience of army food, as opposed to camp, you know. What did you think of the army food?
The food was ample and pretty good. And I don't think I've ever eaten so much in my life. But you expended so much energy that you needed these meals. Certainly breakfast and dinner.
And after breakfast, what sort of sessions would you go into?
Well, you always had a PT session every day. You always had one or
Tell
two.
Tell me about the PT. How tough was it? I mean, you were a fit young. I mean, you said you're an interest in rugby and running, the two things. Mm. Yeah. What did you think of the PT, and did it actually improve your physique, or did it just help maintain it?
I think it improved all our physiques, but you also found out the things that you could do best. I, for some reason, don't have very good muscles in my arms, and I found climbing up a rope was really rather difficult. But I could outrun most people, I had good stamina there. We also did riding.
Now, did they teach you to ride, or could you already ride?
I had a few rides, but they taught you.
Tell us how they went about that.
Well, you all had to have a bicycle, and there was a bicycle parade to move on bicycles down to where the main barracks was in Woolwich, where there was the riding school. And this was always a performance, because you cycled in twos, you were in breeches and puttees and with a bamboo cane in one hand. And every now and again you'd get involved in the tram tracks. There could be a nasty pile-up. Anyway, you went down on bicycles and then you did your riding.
Now tell me about the riding school. How did they go about teaching you? Because the army normally have a quite distinctive method of teaching with...
Well, we had quite a reasonable chap teaching us, but there were three or four instructors, and one was very fierce, and he put all his group of cadets on the horses without saddles to start with. That was his method. But I didn't take to riding. I looked at the horse, and the horse looked at me, and the horse knew immediately it was stronger than me, and I never sort of got to it. I never was an equestrian-minded, but I got through, and that was good.
Did you see the point of riding in you know, it's 1939 by now,
Well, it was part of the setup. It wasn't, and there was a special prize for the best cadet and senior term and so on.
Now, what other sessions would you have at the academy? What other things were they teaching, in other words?
Well, we did a lot of drill. We got the PT, we got the equestrian.
What did you think of military history.
What
did you think of drill? I mean, you'd had lots of drill, and you'd been the company sergeant major of your thing. How did you take to drill? What did you think of drill at the time?
Well, one accepted it, and we were drilled by guard sergeant majors, and we did the guards drill, which is you lift your foot and bring it down with a bang. Stamping drill, really. And it was very competitive, and each sergeant major was very wanted his lot to be the best. So we did a lot of drill.
Did you enjoy it? Did you get caught up in the competition at all?
Oh, yes, we did. We didn't want to let our sergeant major down. We didn't want to let our company officers down. You had about three officers to each company, senior one being a major. And our senior officer was Major Wheeler, who was a very short chap, but Squealer Wheeler. Everybody had a funny nickname in those days, and he was Squealer Wheeler.